Reading is from 1 Corinthians 11:31-32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath. And yes, one day sitting at the feet of Jesus, we won't have to have prayer to commune with him. We'll have that reality of being with our Lord for eternity. So I pray that each one of us will be there to be able to enjoy that. Oh, we know that we can usually start a conversation with talking about the weather. And we know that it was a little cold last night, a little bit, and only going to be in the 60s this week, but what about the weather in our own personal lives, our individual lives, the storms, the temptations, all the arrows that are thrown at us, you know, the stumbling stones that are in our path. So that, but we know that with prayer, with our Heavenly Father, that we can have all of these taken out of our lives as we commune with our God in prayer all this time. And that we can overcome all any weather that is thrown at us in our lives. And I pray that we are constantly communing. I know that I don't pray enough with my Father, and it's mostly because I don't take the time. We say we don't have time. We're on a fast pace in this life all the time here, but we need to take time to do these things. We find time to do anything that we want. They're good, so we know that we can find the time to daily commune with our Heavenly Father. So let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we thank thee that we may call you our Father. Thank you for the Sabbath day where we come together to worship and praise thy holy name. We ask, Father, that thou be with us this day as we ask for guidance and direction, knowing that our Lord Jesus is coming soon. And that is a message that we are to give to the world, of the soon coming of the Savior and the Redeemer of the world, then that all can participate if they have that faith and the belief in our Jesus. So we pray this day that we will truly be your representatives here in this community and where we live, and so that we may one day sit at the feet of our Jesus. In his precious name, amen. Yes. Last time I talked about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, and if you could turn there, we'll be working with that today. Matthew 6. And we all should know the Lord's Prayer. We'll be looking at mainly verses 12 and 13 today. And the last time I was talking about the different aspects of prayer and what prayer is about. The many things that it can be about. And I was talking about the reverencing and reigning with our God. That was two of them. Reverencing, a call for us to reverence the Lord by honoring him for who he is. Expecting him, respecting him and worship him when we pray for guidance and direction and to live that perfect life of our Lord Jesus Christ in our daily lives. Reigning, to see our God glorified, that with his kingdom now we are able to glorify him by living the life of Christ, and that we are to help spread God's kingdom here upon this earth to the world. And today, as I said, we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 of Matthew 6 and see the power about releasing and relying through prayer. You and I both really realize that even though we may be sinned, may be saved, that we can and do still sin. We are constantly sinning. But prayer is about releasing. As it says in verse 12, to say there, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How are we dealing with our own sin problem? both vertically and horizontally, especially as we look at the cross. It's important to know that in our prayer lives that the closeness and the power that we can have in our fellowship rest is how we deal with the sin problem that we have. And in this prayer that we are to read, we don't have to go just as the Lord's Prayer is, Father, but it is an inclination of how we can approach God as our Father. It involves confession. When we pray this prayer, we are confessing before the Lord that we have a problem, and it's a sin problem that we have. You know, many believers have a problem with this truth. They think that others may not be saved, but they do still sin, and we don't. And it's made plain in 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 12, if you would turn there. 1 John chapter 1, 8 and 12. 1 John 1, 8 and 12, or 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So we see that we need to confess our sins to him. It's also clear from the testimony of Paul in Romans 7, verses 14 through 25. His experience is also one that we share. We need a clear conscience of our sins. And we only can do that if we know that we are sinners. Some think that it's going to happen to others and not to them. And as a result, they never confess their sins to the Lord and have that forgiveness that others may have through the confession that they have to them. So we just know that we have to be like the ones that Jesus has given to us, as he told the apostles how that they could pray and approach the Father. But we all have a problem with sin in our lives. None of us are immune from it. We all need help in dealing with the problem, because we can't do it by ourselves. And if we are ever able to get help to meet the need to deal with this, we need to admit our guilt before God. And as soon as we can do that, we know that we can have confession and that we can have repentance and that it will be acceptable to our God. Matthew 6 there uses the word debts to refer to our sins. And this is one of the words used in the New Testament in speaking of sin. So let's look at this word and the others and where we can find each one and what they are about. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Luke 15:21. And said son unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This particular word is used several times in the New Testament. It means miss the mark. We know that we are constantly missing a mark. It's used to refer to an archer shooting an arrow at its target and missing the mark, falling short of that. In our sins, we all miss that standard that God has set before us. We're always missing the mark. So we see that. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you saith he quickeneth who were dead in trespass and sins. Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do ye. So we see that this word is translated an offense or a trespass. And it gives us an idea of slipping or falling. And in James 2:9, talks about it also. And there in James 2:9, it's usually translated transgression. And it refers to an internal crossing of the boundaries established by God in His Word. This is a far more conscious sin than the other two. And then 1 John 3:4. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses against the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. Here it's translated either iniquity or transgression. And it literally means without the law or lawlessness. And we know that we all have lawlessness in our lives. And it's to direct an open rebellion against God and against His way and against His word. We are fighting against His word every day if we don't have that daily connection that we need with our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:12, there it says, translated as debt or debtors, and it refers to something that is owed to another. And so we see here Jesus says that our sins is like a debt owed to God and to our fellow man. So when I pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, I am confessing to God that I have a problem with sin in my life. That I can recognize that I owe to the Lord that debt that I cannot pay. We also know that this prayer also involves a cry. Our greatest problem is sin, and our greatest need is for forgiveness. And the only way that we can have it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, to be able to have that forgiveness of all of our sins. To have the surety of eternal life one day sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I pray that each one of us will be there. We know that we sin on a daily basis. But even in a permanent relationship with God that can never be affected by sin, but our walk with Him and our daily relationship with Him is affected. Can be damaged by the sins that come into our lives. And we can see that in Isaiah 59:2 and 1 Corinthians 9:27. We know that we are never to hide the sin that we have, but many of us do. We don't want others to know about it. So that we have that reason to take it to our Lord. You know that it's a ugly sore in our lives. And so we need never to sweep it under the rug. We have to get it out in the light and to see that, to pretend that it does not exist in our own lives. So we need to drag it out and get it into the light where it can be exposed and that we can deal with it through our Lord Jesus Christ. In dealing with our sins before the Lord, we know that we need to confess them to Him and to Him alone. And as we do confess, it means to agree with or to say the same thing, that God wants us to reach the same place that He is in concerning our faults that we have. He wants us to see sin's horror, and even the little sins that caused it pain and a perversion as he sees it. He wants to judge it in our own lives. And how often do we? How often do you judge your sins? How often do you look at them? If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned by the world. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 and 32, our scripture reading for today. This simple prayer is about confessing our problems to the Lord, voicing our place to Him for forgiveness. And we know that only through Him, as I said, through Him can we have that forgiveness, to feel that our sins are covered by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that one day they will be completely blotted out with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life for eternity. And we know that, I think we have a hard time trying to comprehend what eternity is. We can't. Even after 10,000 years, I doubt if we're going to even know what eternity is yet. But we have that surety of eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to do it His way and not our way. When we do it our way, we know that we're always in trouble. We get there and we just have that, can have that constant victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And prayer involves a condition. And as I said, I've been saying this simple prayer, but this is a different, there is a difficult part of that prayer, and it's the last part. To understand prayer correctly, it is a prayer to God to extend forgiveness to each one of us to the same degree that we extend forgiveness to others. And we know that that's our two great commandments, to love our God with all of our hearts, minds, and souls, and our neighbors as ourselves. And we know that many times we have difficulty in doing that. But in refusing to maintain this fellowship with other believers in the family of God, our relationship with God the Father is affected. Whenever anyone does anything to us, we know that it's impossible to live the same life and use that guilt before God. We have to take that guilt before God. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 35. The lesson is clear. If we expect the Lord to forgive us when we cry out to Him, then we need to ask quickly to forgive others that have wronged us. And if they refuse to forgive us, our brethren, we cannot expect the Lord to forgive us. But when we've been wronged or hurt by others, we need to carry that need to the Lord. Leave it with Him and forgive the offender. Romans 12:19. To be like Jesus, we need to forgive those who offended us. Lord, help us to be like You should be our prayer. And yes, even with all the weather and storms in our life, what is the greatest battle today in our lives? And we know that prayer is about relying. Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's about trusting God in the greatest battle that we face in life. All them temptations that comes at us. It's not a battle to put food on our table or clothes on our backs. Not a battle to approach God for forgiveness or even to battle to forgive those who have treated us wrongly. It is the battle that we face every day, the fight that we have with the temptation of the flesh and the attack of the devil on us personally. Prayer is about relying. We need to rely on our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Only through relying on them can we have eternal life. And there lies the secret of our victory, by relying upon God. And that we can always have victory if we truly believe, if we truly have that faith. If our faith is growing strongly every day, then we know that grace is abounding in our lives even more so. But the problem that we have is of temptation. Each one of us has that temptation. The Lord tells us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. The simple request brims over the meaning of that statement. And then the statement presupposes the leadership of the Lord in our lives. We have to have the Lord in our lives every day, every moment of our lives, to be able to survive in this world. But yet, I suppose that we could live throughout our life, and many people do, without Jesus, without knowing God, but we truly know what their end will be. Thrown into the lake of fire to take that cup of indignation and then be no more. We bled it out for existence. But with our Lord Jesus Christ, we can have the surety of eternal life, the surety of having that perfection of our Lord in our lives daily. And as we study the plan of redemption through the centuries, through eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, is my prayer this morning for each and every one of us. We see that we know that our Heavenly Father is a sovereign God. And since this is true, does this also mean that God leads us into a place we are tempted to sin? Absolutely not. And this problem is addressed in James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1, verse 13. James 1, 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So we know that our God, our sovereign God, does not tempt us. When Adam was tempted and fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, he tried to lay the blame on the Lord. Genesis 3, verse 12. But we know that the fault did not lie with the Lord. The fault was with Adam and Adam alone. And it's the same with us today. It's our fault. God never leads us into direct contact with sin. But we travel the path of life. Every crossroads that we come to brings us into the opposition to take a path other than the path to the eternal life, other than the path to the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have. Every trial that we face has the potential for failure, especially if we try to do it ourselves and take that path without strength from heaven. So what is the Lord trying to tell us? Tell us to pray for it. To be requesting, Lord, please do not lead us into a trial which will present a temptation stronger than our power to resist it. And yes, we do have power. If you don't think you have any power, you do. You have the power whether to accept or not accept the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the option of following that straight and narrow path or that wide path that leads to destruction. And no one else can make that choice for you. So where does temptation come from? James tells us very clearly that temptation arises within the human heart. James 1, 14 and 15. Our human flesh is hopelessly flawed and given over to sin. Ephesians 4, 22. Mark 7:21 and 22. Temptation in and of itself is not sin. They're always saying that, when did Eve sin? When she looked at the tree, when she took it in her hands, or when she took a bite of it. But we know that, as I said, temptation is not in and of itself sin. But then when that instant temptation comes to us, and we embrace it and we pursue it, we know that sin is a result. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Just seeing Bathsheba on the roof bathing in the nude was not a sin for David. But in David's desire at pursuing her, sin came into play. And the end of that sin was death and destruction. The consequences he paid through his family because of that discretion. The essence of temptation is a problem within each one of us. The heart of the problem is our heart. Matthew 15:17-20. We need help. And we know that there's only one that can give us that help that we need to overcome all these temptations in our life. We need someone who can strengthen us in this time of temptation. Hebrews 2:18. He is able to secure them that are tempted. Yes, we have that surety of that. We also, there is a power of temptation. Our need to pray for the Lord's protection from temptation is so great because we are so prone to failure. And we do so many times fail as we come to our Lord Jesus Christ for whatever reason that we may have. We already know that our drive for sin, our hunger for sin, that seems funny, our drive for sin, our hunger for sin, and our capacity for sin dwells within our hearts, with each one of our hearts. Temptation is simply an outgrowth of who we are by nature, and that is why it's so often so hard for us to resist those temptations that are thrown at us. A temptation is a powerful opponent, but most Christians have no idea as to its real power. And it does have power. Some says that temptation was so powerful that I couldn't resist. In truth, the person who gives in to temptation, the Lord knows nothing of its power. So we need to understand that temptation. We need to understand sin as it is a transgression of the law. And only the power that someone can have that stands against it can be ready and can testify to that power of temptation that can be wielded. So we need to know what temptation is. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ that we may be saved and that we may overcome any temptation that comes before us. Don't think there's ever any temptation that we cannot not overcome. But when we stand our ground and refuse to yield to sin's call, we discover just how much of a pull it really has on the flesh and sin has on our lives. We need to thank God that the power of temptation has no more force in our lives that we can allow it to have. So we pray that we don't allow it to have any force in our lives, but yet we know that we fail. We fail miserably. You know that we need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in confession again. To look at the second chances that we get, the second chance and second chance and second chance, all the way up to the time when probation closes for the church, for His people. We have that chance to give our hearts and our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, to allow the Holy Spirit to be the working force in each one of our lives so that we can be children of the living God. To truly know that we can stand against sin through the power that we're given. And the Lord has given us special promises for that, that where He's going to strengthen us in the midst of these sins, that our temptations and our guarantee of victory is there through Jesus Christ in Him alone. So if we yield to His will and not to temptation, we will see that. And if you would look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we know that any temptation that we have, we will be able to bear it with the help from on high. So we see that. And there's others that tell us that. Isaiah 43:2, 2 Peter 2:9. We need to have a living revival. It is mentioned in Romans 6, verses 6 through 18. Also, in a prayer, there is a plea in temptation. We see that the verse closes with the words, "But deliver us from evil." It's really saying to me, deliver us from the evil one. As Christians, we all have an enemy who hates us and wants nothing more than us to fail. But we have the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't can't fail. So we just pray and know that the ultimate goal of our adversary is to use us to bring dishonor and disgrace to our God, to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. The enemy is the devil, and his desire is for us to fail. Ephesians 6, verse 12. When we pray this prayer, we recognize that we are unable to fight this war on our own. We need to call on the name of the Lord, employing His power to stand against the devil and his wiles in the battle of temptation and sin in our lives. This was a tactic that Jesus used during His time of temptation, Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus was tempted, He turned to the spiritual resources of the Holy Spirit, and we can have those same resources of the Holy Spirit today in each one of our lives. In that day, and we can be victorious as He was. We are to approach the resources that we have been given in the person of the Holy Spirit and in the power of the Word of God. That's it. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God that we have constantly at our hands. And that's why we need to take this book and open it up daily, not to let it sit on shelf, some shelf gathering dust, as many people do. The Bible is still the most produced book in the world, but how many of them do sit on this shelf and never are used? We pray that we will open ours daily, that we will dress up in the whole armor of God and to make our stand. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Don't forget, we need to fight to a standstill. Forgiving and being forgiven are more important than we can realize. Can't even imagine it. But prayer is about releasing. It's about us releasing our sins into God's hands of grace so that we can experience His forgiveness. It's about releasing the debts that occur in our lives so that our fellowship with God and with man is not hindered. Through prayer, victory is ours in the battle with temptation. We are challenging to pray about our needs in the battle, and we are to trust the Lord that He will take care of them, that He will help us through this temptation and that His part. Victory is available, but only to those who are serious about waging war of the lust that dwells within each one of us, so that we can experience the Lord's victory. It's not our victory, it's the Lord's victory. So we just pray that we will not fall into those pitfalls of sin. And if we do, we have the Lord Jesus Christ there to pull us up out Prayer is also about relying. May the Lord teach us that it is the greatest battle of life that we need to learn, to rely on Him. We cannot rely on self. We cannot rely on one another. Oh, we can draw strength from it, from one another, but we cannot rely on anyone when it comes down to the very end. So we need to obey our Lord Jesus Christ constantly and always in our lives. And I pray that we will do that. And that one day we will all meet on a sea of glass where we will be given our crowns and given our stars that we will have. Some with many stars, others with a few stars. Maybe some with not even one star. But we will not worry about that. For we have the glory and the confidence of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can be with Him one day soon. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but as such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Shall we all kneel where possible and recite the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast taken that temptation, but such is common to man. So we see, Father, that as our Father, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, to give us this day our daily bread, to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.